This is News in No Time, Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, Al Gore's new network and MegaFest in Atlanta. Joining us from our Chicago bureau is Mary Mitchell, columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times. Joining us from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Reverend O'Neill Dozier, founder and pastor of the Worldwide Christian Center in Pompano Beach, Florida. And joining me here at WCLK in Atlanta, George Curry, editor-in-chief of the National Newspaper Publishers Association News Service. And I want to give a good shout-out to the folks here at WCLK for making a good home for us while we're here in Atlanta. Our thanks to them. All right, let us talk about something that hit the wires today, George Curry, and it continues to be an issue and a problem for the Bush administration, and that is, once again, the body count. We are finding that today it's reported some 14 soldiers were killed, as well as an interpreter. We also find out that an independent journalist from New York City, Steve Vincent, was killed, shot to death. When you see this, when you hear these reports come across the wires, and we are starting to see what really killed Vietnam for Lyndon Johnson, and that is strictly the body count.
The body count in recent weeks has really been seem to be escalating. And so all the reports, the bright reports we get out of the Pentagon saying we're winning the war in the hearts and minds of the people in Iraq simply isn't happening. We're having more and more losses. This was a freelancer journalist as well, shot repeatedly. And this can lead to downfall. I think we already see some movement. And you look in Congress, when we see here Republicans saying, we got to get a date to exit. And, of course, the administration said, oh, no, that'd be playing the hand of the enemy. But you watch. They're going to set a date because the elections are coming up, and they're concerned about that.
Mary Mitchell, one of the things that we did not hear in past wars often is the killing of journalists from the West. We are seeing, quite frankly, a different world, and we're seeing a different kind of fight, a different enemy, so to speak.
And we're seeing a different kind of journalist. I mean, in the past, journalists who would be sent over by a news organization would have some kind of protection. They would not be allowed to go as far as journalists who are independent. The interesting thing about this is that, you know, this kind of journalist are the journalists that are going to win the Pulitzer Prizes. I mean, they are on the front line. They are the people who are actually seeing what's going on, and they are independent. They cannot be. A Bush administration is not going to be able to spin them, and they're not going to be sending stories back that are fluff stories or stories that don't really tell or give us a sense of what's really going on there. So it's very, very unfortunate. You know, I'm not the kind of journalist that's going to go out in the middle of a street war and cover the street war. You know, we do that from our cell phones, and we do that from the office. So it is an unfortunate thing, but, I mean, unfortunately, this is the way of the world now, and these are the kind of journalists that we are really looking for.
Reverend Dozier, talk to me, if you will, about what you are hearing from people that you pastor when talking about this war. Certainly it is on the minds, and I would suspect some in your flock may even have people who are fighting this war.
Yes, they have, Ed. Ed, I believe that the people in my church are looking at it slightly different. They are focusing up on the fact that there have been many achievements there made in Iraq. And I think that when you look at Iraq, yes, you look at the killings, and that's sad, that's bad. But at the same time, you look at the things that are happening there that were not happening there. The schools opening up, the hospitals are functioning, people are getting jobs. Many things are happening there that the news is not publishing.
George Curry,
what do you mean by that? What does he mean by that? The news is not publishing?
I think his suggestion, I don't want to speak for Reverend Dozier, but I think his suggestion is the if you will, allow the negative account, if we're talking body counts and the like, are far more headline-making than is the progress in that country. Reverend Dozier, is that not what you're suggesting?
Yes. Well, I think that we need to...
Those are the stories that we need to hear. We need to understand that we are talking about massive loss of life. We are talking about massive loss of life from young people. people who are 20, 21, 22, 23 years old who haven't even begun to live yet. So I think those stories are very, very important. And unfortunately, there's been so much spin put on this war that some of the stories that are coming back talking about the hospitals and, the, you know, all those kinds of stories. I've talked to people who've come back from Iraq and said, that's a bunch of bunk. They are far behind and pulling this new Iraq off than they would have us believe.
George Curry, the idea of what Reverend Dozier suggests, what's your thought? I mean, you've been in this business a long time. How do you counterbalance the negative of war with, as he suggests, the plus side of it, if in fact some of what you went in there for is coming to fruition?
Well, first of all, I mean, I don't know where he's getting his reports from. I've even went to Doha, Qatar, to actually cover the briefing by General Brooks, and even he or anybody else now could say that we're really close to normalcy here and all the good things. There's no normal life in Iraq when people are getting killed. And you can't sanitize this. And this is a reality. This is what people care about. And certainly, even if it were, as Reverend Dozier put it, and I question that, is it worth it for U.S. lives? And I think increasingly even Republicans are saying, we got to get out.
All right, well, we'll continue to watch this. Let's turn our attention now to something that launched this week, and that is the current network. This is the long-awaited network of Al Gore and George Curry. This is something that the people who are behind the network are suggesting, that this is a new network for young people who are interested in news, young people who want to find out. And it's supposed to be a younger, hipper network. But others are suggesting that this is Al Gore's way kind of to spite the Fox network, counterbalance what has been seen on the fronts of conservatives, and a part of the sting he continues to feel for not sitting in the White House right now.
Well, since Al Gore invented the Internet, as we all know, this is a natural place for him to start. Actually, it is finally some movement on the progressive side to have something other than Fox. I mean, the progressives have been getting their behinds kicked on TV, talk radio, and been basically sitting there doing nothing. And this is at least a chance, an opportunity here to have another point of view.
Mary?
But if this is, my understanding is that the network will not be a political network. I mean, it won't be about, you know, politics. It'll be about, you know, fishing or something like that, or something that will attract young people. It'll be about, you know, this young, like one segment about this young guy talking about what it was like to have his name on a list of Paris Hilton's cell phone contacts. What does it have to do with politics? So if it is going to be a counterbalance to, let's say, the extreme right, then, you know, this doesn't sound like this is the station for it.
But it's not CNN, though. I mean, they're trying to provide a lot of different kind of thing that basically hasn't been attracting young people to the news, and I think that's part of the big push here.
Reverend Dozier?
Well, I agree. I agree with Mary. Gore has certainly promised that the network won't be advancing political point of views, and I think that is great. Now, I thought immediately—
Do you believe that, though?
I thought immediately that this would be the case, but he has indicated in several areas of this particular writing that I have here that is not intended to be partisan in any way and not intended to be ideology.
But Fox says the same thing, and it is exactly that. So that's not good enough just because somebody assure you that.
I mean, one of the things that we heard Al Gore talk about at the inception of the thought of bringing this was, in fact, and this again was, I think, when he was more stung by his loss, he felt the need to counter what, in his words, conservatives had been able to do with the airwaves. One of the thoughts early on is that he was literally going to be able to put a mouthpiece or give a mouthpiece to the far left. And many people see him as that kind of last bastion. He tried to play himself with the DLC as a conservative Democrat, but we see the fringe of what we know Al Gore to be oft times, and that is to the far left.
No, he's not to the far left.
He's not far left, George Curry, in the traditional sense.
Right.
But if you look at Democrats today, one can put Al Gore in that category.
I would still.
Outside of Howard Dean, who you got?
Well, that's the whole point. He is not Al Gore, that's for sure.
Mary, you were saying?
I'm just saying that what's wrong with coming out and saying just that. This is it, what his intention is. I mean, Al Gore saying that, because if it's being sold to us as if it is going to be this youth-oriented news station, then that's one thing. But if it's going to be a political station, there's nothing wrong with saying that.
All right, turn our attention now to something going on in Atlanta. Reverend Dozier, let me ask you first. This is your bailiwick, if you will. MegaFest here at T.D. Jakes, lending his power and strength to a festival that will attract upwards to 150,000 people here from 55 countries. That's the numbers that they had last year. Many suggest, though, that this is too much of a prefabrication, if you will, of religion, and there's concern that it's becoming too marketed. What's your thought there, Reverend?
Well, my thought is, of course, this is my thing, of course, you know. This is my thing, and I have the utmost respect for Jakes. The thing here is this. Now, when you answer that particular question that you had there, what is it about the draw of these religious revivals? And then you ask the question, are they good for the city? Well, in my estimation, they are good for the city if the gospel of truth is being preached. If not, then it is not good for the city. Because you see, there are four different types of gospels being preached today. And they are these. Number one, the gospel of prosperity, the gospel of entertainment, the gospel of emotionalism, and finally, the gospel of truth. The gospel of truth is the real gospel. It is the life-changing gospel. It is the deliverance gospel, the gospel that will set you free. Now, this will be a revival, a real revival. Now, if indeed Bishop Jakes MegaFest is going to produce this, then let us have it. I think it will be something good. But if not, I think that it's just going to work to the contrary.
George Curry, some will suggest that the marriage of what Reverend Dozier suggested comes together in MegaFest and other large revivals like this, that you do see the teaching of the gospel, but you do see the entertainment aspect and all the other things he just mentioned there. Some folks see this as good, and that you will draw people who would never just come to church on Sunday to hear the word. Others, more traditionalists, say that this is a hedonism working its way to religion.
Well, I don't know. I got put Bishop Jake in the hedonism category.
Nor did I.
I just want to make sure we're clear on that. But certainly it is. It's the same kind of controversy you get around Kirk Franklin. You know, they're saying, is that gospel? Is that gospel? If you're reaching people with the word of God, if it's a different venue, then I say more power to you. Now, of course, Bishop Jake has a problem here in the sense that he had a big meeting recently with black publishers in Chicago saying he's going to form this alliance with the black press, and he's spending ads with everybody in Atlanta but the black press, and they're quite upset about that. So he's got to make himself consistent across the board there. Mm-hmm.
Mary?
Okay, but here's the test. The proof is in the pudding, and, you know, first of all, is it free? I mean, if you got to spend $1,500 to fly across town to go to a MegaFest, that means that this is a gathering of people who already have bought into the religion, so to speak. What I find curious is that this whole thing started with women. It started because there was a void in the lives, particularly of African-American women, and here comes Reverend Jakes, who shows them how they can be loosed and how they can be a better woman. That's how this started. So in my mind, this is a good thing if we can begin to take these mega churches, he's not the only one, take these mega churches and begin to impact and bring the African-American community back to a moral center where we don't have to keep talking about less likely and more likely, less likely to graduate from college and more likely to be incarcerated, less likely to get married and more likely to be a single parent. We can get away from those kind of things, and this is a good thing. But if it's just a gathering of people who already believe and it's a big party, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, but that's not going to help black America.
But Mary, I don't know that mega churches are the answer. I mean, I don't think just because they have the numbers, that's just where you're going to impact the most people. I think that's not your typical size of a church in the black community. And I think they don't, you know, I think they overestimate in terms of what their impact is.
But when you think Reverend about Dozier,
can we not just suggest here, Reverend Dozier, that the flock, those that are astray, need to be brought in some way, shape, or form? And if old measures aren't working, that perhaps this is a new way?
Yes, it would be. But, Ed, we have to take a look at something. This is what I look at, you know, in our neighborhood, for an example. When I say, is the gospel being preached? Now, everything that is said to be the gospel is really not the gospel. The gospel, of course, is something that a lot of people don't want to hear. The gospel tells you how to live your life. The gospel brings convictions. See, for an example, when we look at the situation here, woman, thou art loose. Well, my question would be, okay, Bishop Jake, what in essence are you saying there? Are you saying that they are loose now to do what? Are they loose to assist in the continuation of destroying the earth? Are they loose how? How are they loose? Because, see, God has...
You're suggesting there's some questions about his message. And while I'm mildly critical of the mega church concept, I don't see that his message is confusing. A lot of women seem to be very clear about it. They responded to it in great numbers. And it's loose from the oppression and abuse in the past. And I think that message has been coming across quite clear.
I think what's interesting here, though, and we have seen it historically, George, you bring it up with Kirk Franklin, but, you know, one can go back as far as C.L. Franklin and Aretha Franklin when the advent of the collision, if you will, of secular music and gospel music, and even, quite frankly, before, but C.L. and Aretha made it the most popular, if you will, it becomes a question of how we deal with religion, how we bring others to the flock, and what it is to individuals. And I think probably the lesson learned here is that religion is, as most people say, an individual's choice. Some of us prosper by going to church on Sunday. Some who never go to church are some of the finest human beings going. So we'll leave it at that, because this is one of those age-old questions that will not be answered. Mary Mitchell, Reverend Dozier, and George Curry, thank you all very much. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.